When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Playlist Podcast, the weekly discussion of films and TV. I'm your host, Charles Barfield, managing editor of the Playlist. And for this episode, we're presenting our recent interview with Robert Kirkman, the writer, producer, creator of the Amazon animated series Invincible, and of course, The Walking Dead. For those unaware, Kirkman broke out as a comic book writer a couple decades ago, working for Marvel before venturing off on his own, creating a number of popular comic book series, including The Walking Dead, Outcast, and of course, Invincible, which is what we're discussing in our interview. Invincible is a coming-of-age superhero origin story unlike anything before it. Sure, it has influences of Marvel and DC, but only as a jumping-off point to tell a story that is geared towards adults and is at times very dark with some bloody, bone-breaking action. But at the heart of it is the story of one teen trying to come to terms with being a young superhero when your father happens to be Omni-Man, the universe's version of Superman. As you can tell from the interview, it's a comic book series that means a lot to me personally, and I can happily say this TV series does a great job bringing it to animated life. So if you're someone that likes superheroes and also looking for something a bit different than the always sunny Marvel Cinematic Universe or the dark, desaturated DCEU, Invincible might be for you. And if for nothing else, it has an incredible cast that includes, that's a deep breath, Steven Yeun, J.K. Simmons, Sandra Oh, Mark Hamill, Seth Rogen, Gillian Jacobs, Andrew Rannells, Zazie Beetz, Walton Goggins, Jason Mantzoukas, Mae Whitman, and Zachary Quinto, just to name, I don't know, a dozen. Needless to say, it's a huge cast that's probably the best animated series cast that we've seen in history. Who knows? But before I throw it to our interview with Kirkman, I got to tell you that the Playlist Podcast is part of the Playlist Podcast Network, which includes Be Real, The Fourth Wall, Deep Focus, and more. And if you want to find us, you can check out your podcast app of choice, whether that's Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, Anchor, Stitcher, anywhere else you find your favorite shows. And speaking of our podcast, I want to tease what else we have coming very shortly. In addition to this interview with Robert Kirkman, we have some pretty great interviews coming over the next couple of weeks with folks like Rachel Sennett, the star of Shiva Baby, Ilya Naishuler, the director of Nobody, and a couple of other surprises. Needless to say, you've got a lot of content from the Playlist Podcast coming your way over the next couple of weeks. So, you know, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I'll let you decide. We think it's kind of awesome. So I hope you enjoyed our interview with Robert Kirkman. I'm going to throw it over to that, where I'm joined by my co-hosts, Brian Farver and Mike D'Angelo. Enjoy. I want to welcome writer, producer, creator, comic book legend, Robert Kirkman to the Playlist Podcast. Thanks for joining us to talk about Invincible.
Happy to be here, guys.
Great. I got to say right up front, though, I'm a huge fan of the Invincible comics, and I have to thank you not just for the story, which is amazing for superheroes storytelling in general, but also I got a prop here collecting them in this That is a really solid at-home weight system because Those things are ridiculous.
A book's not a book unless it hurts your back.
Words to live by, I swear. Yes,
yeah.
So yeah, back to the topic at hand. Amazon's finally bringing your superhero comic Invincible to life as an animated series. But as someone who watched the MTV motion comic back in the day, been following the news about the live action stuff for years, I know I'm excited about this show coming out, but I got to imagine for you, this is like you're over the moon. So I would love to hear kind of what the last decade's been like bringing this story that you've had to life in some way for somebody.
Oh gosh. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's a weird experience because we wrapped up the comic book series in, I think, February of 2018 and then moved right into the animated series. So there wasn't really any kind of gap. I mean, I think I had started working on some aspects of the animated series before the comic book series had even ended. And I was really hoping that we would have been able to announce it in the letters column of the last issue, but the timing just didn't work out on that. But it's weird to, you know, have that transition where you're wrapping up a series and, you know, you're reaching that finish line and you're very nervous about how the ending's going to go. And then you know, there's not any sense of missing those characters or that loss of that series because you just dive right into the show. And then, you know, we've been working on the show for the better part of 3 years, and you know, it's just been a you know, a lot of work, and you know, you've got a pandemic that was kind of thrown into the middle of it all, and you know, we had to transition to working from home, and you know, it's just been a crazy race to try and get this whole thing to, you know, come together the way it has been. And now that we're, you know, nearing the finish line for the first season and getting to actually like show this to an audience and getting to, you know, see their reaction and, you know, share them with it, share this with them, I couldn't be more excited. And you know, I'm just, you know, like so thrilled to be at this point in the series, like looking at the future, like knowing like maybe we can, you know, tell this full story again and kind of tweak things along the way and do cool things. It's just a really great place to be. I'm very excited.
Charles has been like a diehard Invincible fan for all of us. I like knew it was there. I wanted to jump in. I've read all the Walking Dead stuff and, you know, watched it obviously. And it's one of those things where I was like, I knew the series was coming. So I was like, maybe I should just wait for that because I saw
I
the
like
cast.
You less, Charles. I like you more.
Well, here's the thing. I watched the first three that you guys gave us, and I'm like, I can't wait anymore. So I'm already started on the comics. So sweet. Yeah, you got another
comic. You can strengthen your back with those too. So that's
exactly. He went digital. Don't let
I
him
did.
Fool
I'm
you.
I'm sorry. And I'm out.
Read them on your old PC and then you can do that.
All right, that sounds good. Well, so I mean, just for like the uninitiated, it's a kind of a classic origin story for mm-hmm. like the superpowered like young kid, and there's a bunch of superpowered individuals that feel really like similar to like Marvel and DC universes. But on the other hand, you have this super kind of hard R adult tone and like really pitch black, like darkness and like horrific violence and all that stuff. So some people might care kind of like compare it to another one of Amazon's shows, The Boys, wow. Something like that, which is great. As far as, you know, how would you describe this to someone who's like, what is this? I just see bright colors and costumes and animation. Maybe my 5-year-old would be down for this, or like, what do you pitch it as?
Well, I mean, this is very much a coming of age story for Martin Grayson. It's about a guy who grows up in a superhero world where superheroes are as common as, you know, football stars in our world. And, you know, his dad is the greatest superhero who's ever lived, who's, you know, beloved the world over, and he's kind of grown up in his shadow and wants to live up to, you know, who his dad is and wants to follow in his father's footsteps. And our series picks up when he's actually doing that. But what he finds out is, you know, it's very much a be careful what you wish for situation. The world of superheroes that he saw as a child is not this brightly colored, candy-coated world that he, you know, aspired to be a part of. It's much darker. It's much more dangerous. It's you know, much more dire. And it's something that, you know, he isn't necessarily prepared for. And so it's very much about that transition from adolescence to adulthood where you're like, wait a minute, like, getting to drive and getting to do whatever you want and getting to be the master of your own schedule and everything like is stressful and crazy. And I wasn't prepared for this. Only, you know, Mark's a superhero. And so the way he's experiencing it is, you know, getting his face punched in.
And there are consequences.
Yes.
Yeah, there's huge yes. consequences. I mean, that's another thing about Invincible that I think sets it apart. You know, we're not shying away from the consequences of their actions. You know, when two superheroes fight and they bring a building down, you know, that's a national event, and people are mourning the loss of the people in that building, and the superheroes are feeling guilty over the, you know, mistakes that they've made that have led to the collapse of that building. And, you know, dealing with these stories and watching how it affects these characters is really the core of what makes Invincible Invincible.
Was there ever a thought about changing the art style for the series from the look of the comic book? Because there's a clear influence, Corey Walker, Ryan Otley. Did you ever think about making this just the most violent and bloody Pixar film ever? Like,
yeah, Walt Disney Animation.
Yes.
No, I mean, I think that, you know, because of the size of our cast, 2D animation made a lot more sense than 3D animation. When you do 3D animation, you kind of have trouble doing a number of different characters because you have to build 3D models. But, mm-hmm. You know, once we had decided on 2D and, you know, the look and the feel of what we were going for, the reason you get that sense of the comic being brought into the animated series so accurately is because Corey Walker is actually the lead character designer on the show. So he's, you know, working hand in hand to adapt his own designs and some of Ryan's designs, you know, for the show. And I think that it was very important to me to, you know, keep that brightly colored superhero world present because when we go into these like darker places and when we have the violence kicking up, it's going to be that much more jarring if the entire look of the show is telling you, oh, this is the kind of thing that doesn't happen in this world. And so then when it does, you're just, you know, like, whoa, I didn't expect this to be happening. You know, I think it makes it that much more surprising and startling.
And for those unaware, I was kind of mentioning it before, but you are the co-creator of The Walking Dead. I don't know if for some reason someone doesn't know that. I don't know how. But, you know, these are vastly different stories and I'm sure a really super different journey to get to the screen. What has been, you know, out of those two stories, like, which do you think has been the easier one to translate? Has it been like, what's the most difficult part, you know, to getting Invincible on the screen?
I feel like maybe, well, I mean, Invincible was definitely easier to adapt because I was at a different place in my career where people were, you know, possibly a little bit more willing to work with me, which is nice. I think that also being in animated form, I think moving a comic book from, you know, the story page to the animated field is a little bit more seamless, a transition from bringing a comic book into live action. So in that respect, it's been a much easier transition. You know, we would have to adapt the comic book in a completely different way if this were a live action TV show. You know, you wouldn't have a lot of, you know, people with fish heads and cat heads and different things like that would look super weird in live action. But, you know, in animated form, it all just works. It all just looks like it belongs and you don't question it. And I think that's something where it's like the shorthand magic from comic books is being pulled into animation in a really cool way.
Speaking of live action, this, as I kind of hinted at earlier, this has been a project that kind of had teased the live action, possibly not the series, but you were talking about possibly a movie still being in the works. Maybe we'll see. But now that you're telling the story on Amazon, and this is a very unique story because it's serialized superhero storytelling. It's not, you can't just tell like the fourth story in Invincible before you tell the first story in Invincible, right? So now that the animated series is out there, are you second guessing the idea of bringing a live action version of this story to life? Or is that something you still hope to see maybe in a film or even a series?
I mean, it's still very much in development at Universal. It's something that we're actively working on. And I think that if anything, doing the animated series is showing us, you know, the different things that we can accomplish in animation and how we're going to have to handle them differently in live action. And I think it's, you know, putting us, I think, on a little more sure footing as we move into live action. I think that the limitations are mainly in television. The speed at which things are shot and the budget at which things are shot is much different in television than it is in film. You know, when it comes to adapting Invincible into a film, you know, the story will be a little bit more contained than its animated form, you know, just to differentiate the story in some way. I can't really get into all the different differences that we're going to be doing, but
we have time. You can list them.
Yeah, go
ahead.
I
could, but no, I mean, the live action movie and the animated series have been developed almost concurrently. So both versions were aware of each other along the way. And, you know, we're, you know, keeping the differences intact as we move forward. So the two will exist, you know, well, they'll coexist in a very, you know, cool way.
I know we've seen the Batman origin like 45 times in films, but like, you know, is there any concern that you're telling the origin story for Invincible now and that you might have to retell it again?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. And we're planning for that. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like it's all being done at the same time. So, we're on top of that, I guess.
Just keep Seth Rogen as Alan the Alien.
Yes. That would be ideal.
Yeah, I mean, talking about that cast for a minute, I mean, that was the thing that jumped out at me was just the heavy hitters that you got for this. And did you have to work like especially hard for anyone to be a part of this, or were you turning people away at some point? Was there anybody that surprised you the most with what they brought to their character? I mean, what was that all like?
You know, I mean, everybody brought something to their roles that was surprising. I think that when we got Jeffrey Donovan for the character Machine Head, you know, I didn't really know what we were doing with that character. And you know, when he came in, he was kind of like, you know, I'm going to kind of do it like this. Is this cool? And we were just absolutely blown away. I mean, that happened a lot, but that's one example that I remember. We didn't really, you know, we definitely didn't turn any actors away. And you know, all of them were harder to get to a certain extent. You know, we had long conversations with a lot of them trying to explain the project and, you know, what it was and what we were trying to accomplish to try and entice them to, you know, lend their talents to our silly superhero show. But you know, everybody came on board and, you know, we were able to build this amazing cast that I think is, you know, making for a absolutely spectacular show. And it's put me in a position where, you know, characters that I wrote for 16 years that are, you know, almost, I think they're 18 years old at this point. I'm still learning new things about them because I'm getting to see them portrayed through these actors, you know, talents. And I'm like, oh gosh, I never considered that Debbie Grayson, you know, like felt that way or was like that. Like, oh my gosh, like there's new aspects of them that even I'm learning through them. And that's a really great experience.
Really quick, was it an intentional choice to have Walking Dead actors voice the Guardians of the Globe?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know, when's this going live? How much can we talk about? Yeah, but yeah, no, I think for people that are familiar with the comics that know the fate of the Guardians of the Globe, it's an extra little level of fun to have a Walking Dead cast that is very familiar with dealing with that coming in to portray these characters. And so that was something that I thought would be a really fun thing to do.
I hate to be the Walking Dead guy, but you know, there's a lot of talk about.
Hey, I'm the Walking Dead guy.
Oh yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. There's a lot of talk about the upcoming like Rick Grimes film, which I'm referring to as the Ricking Dead. I think production is supposed to be relatively soon, right?
Are you trying to trick me into revealing something?
I just saw it. But either way, I mean, you know, it's supposed to be this movie that follows him since he's, spoiler alert, for a long time ago, disappeared. Is this kind of like a self-contained story? Is this a series that's just like a series episode that's like a feature length? Or is, you know, what kind of differences is the Ricking Dead going to be from the Walking Dead?
I think all
you can
I'm
feel
willing...
free to use that, by the way.
You know, it's possible that we might. Or it could just be the Walking Rick.
Yes.
You know, who knows? But all I'm willing to say at this point, because I don't want to spoil too much, is that the project is you know, it's focusing on Rick Grimes possibly more than the show ever did, you know, because it's his movie and it's his journey. And so being able to get back into it with Andrew Lincoln and to be able to explore another aspect of this character is really exciting. And we're going to be doing some really cool things with that character and also some very different things. Like this is, you know, it's a movie. It's not a part of the TV show. And so we're hoping to bring you a story that has a little bit of a different flavor than what you're experiencing from The Walking Dead. Yeah, we're going to try to keep things as different as possible while also still existing in the same world. And I have already said too much, but, you know, look for the Walking Dead, Rick Grimes movie, the Walking Rick, the Ricking Dead, who knows, whichever one we call it.
Rickin'
at some point in the future. It's going to be great.
Now, I hate to do this because we're talking Invincible, but I do want to ask you one thing about Marvel and just superheroes in general, because you are a bit of an expert. Yeah, you are. You've worked at Marvel and you've seen now, that was years ago, of course, but you've seen now with the MCU being kind of the biggest franchise in history, I guess you could say almost. We've seen superhero storytelling in film and TV just drastically change over the last decade. So I'm curious what you think of the current state of superhero storytelling in TV outside of Invincible, which you would say is probably the best. But also, are there any other projects that stand out kind of as like the gold standard when you look at like, this is where superhero storytelling should go?
I mean, I think The Boys should definitely get some recognition for doing some new things with superhero storytelling. I think that's a great show. I think that as much credit as Kevin Feige gets, I think he, you know, still possibly doesn't get enough. I think that, you know, what he's been able to accomplish with the MCU is really, you know, remarkable. I think that one of the chief things that he was able to do that I think is really adding to the longevity of the superhero medium is the way that the Marvel movies have pivoted from being your standard superhero stories. Because if you take Iron Man is a really, really good version of what you got in a Batman movie or, you know, a Spider-Man movie. It's like a very cool, you know, superhero origin story. But once you get to Captain America Winter Soldier, you know, that is an espionage tale. And when you get to Guardians of the Galaxy, that's just a sci-fi movie. The first Thor movie is very much a fish out of water comedy from the 80s, like with superheroes. The Captain America First Avenger is it's a World War II movie where there just happens to be a superhero present. And so he's really kind of shown that superheroes can just be an added element to a well-worn genre that already exists. It doesn't have to just be a superhero story. And as we move forward, having that element present, I think is makes it possible to do literally anything in a superhero movie. I think that Shang-Chi being martial arts, and I know that Eternals is going to be something very different. I don't know if that's going to be science fiction or what. I mean, I'm picturing it being something like Game of Thrones with superheroes. So, I think that there's just he's really taken the opportunity to show what a massive canvas a superhero can be.
I'm thinking it's going to be more like Nomadland, but superheroes.
That would be cool too.
The Eternals in a bus.
I'm pooping in a bus. Sorry.
Really quick. So I just kind of like looking at some other, things that you've been attached to. I know you were attached to a Dracula reimagining called Renfield with Dexter mm-hmm. Fletcher. Is that still happening? Anything you can tell us about that project or that story?
I can't really give you any details, but that is very much in the works. I'm very excited about Renfield. I think it's going to be a much different kind of movie than you would expect. Nice. Hopefully we'll be talking more about that very soon.
Awesome. And what about Stealth with Lee Daniels directing? I know that's a hero you created. Is that a superhero film still in the works?
Yeah. I mean, Lee Daniels just did his, Billie Holiday movie. Mm-hmm. I've been in contact with Lee for a while, and that is still very much in the works.
Awesome.
Is there just building off that real quick, is there any of your creations, so to speak, that you're like desperate to get out there that you don't think people are expecting yet?
Ooh.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, we're doing a lot of cool things with Oblivion Song that I'm, hopefully people will, be aware of soon. I don't know. I mean, there's any and all of them, really. I mean, I don't really play favorites. I think that everything that I've done, I'd love to see it adapted to another media at some point. But I don't know. I mean, we'll see. There's not any kind of like, it's firepower. Firepower is the one, I love them all almost equally. That said, I think that Firepower would make a cool TV show or movie. We'll see.
Nice. Oblivion Song, by the way, desperately tried to get that issue when it hit the comic shops. It's so difficult. Anyway, regardless. But we have to wrap up now. So I wanted to thank Robert Kirkman again for joining us on the Playlist podcast. And everybody go check out Invincible when it debuts on Amazon Prime Video on March 26th. Two episodes, yeah. Right? And then weekly after that, something like that?
Three episodes on March 26th and then good. Weekly after that.
Yeah. Great. So yeah, thank you so much. It's been a blast.
Awesome. No, thank you. This has been great. Thanks a lot, guys.